Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Nedarim Daf Pei Ches, the 11th Perek Be'el Nedarim. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught about one who knows he can revoke Nedarim but did not know he had rights to be made for a particular Neder. Rabbi Meir says he cannot be made for because the partial knowledge he had the day he heard the Neder is not sufficient for Hafara. Still, the partial knowledge does qualify as a day of hearing to prevent him from revoking thereafter. The Chachamim say he can revoke the first day and his partial knowledge is adequate. The Gemara poses a contradiction for the law of a blind person who kills inadvertently. Rav Yehuda, the assumed disputant in our Mishnah, says he does not go to Gaulis because the Pasuk says below Ra'os, without seeing, indicating that he normally can see, and a blind person's partial awareness is not tantamount to proper knowledge. Rav Meir says he goes to Gaulis and is included in without seeing because he considers his partial awareness sufficient. Now, this is the opposite of the positions in our Mishnah. Rabbi answers that each subject is darshan based on context. Rabbi Yehuda says that the pasuk stating "Vashir yavo es re'eu bayar," one who goes with his friend into the forest, would include a blind person, so the extra "without seeing" must be to exclude him. Rabbi Meir says that the phrase "bavli da'as," without awareness, would already exclude a blind person who lacks full awareness, so the additional exclusionary phrase of "below ra'os," without seeing, must be to include a blind person. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, one who prohibited benefit to his son-in-law and wishes to give money to his daughter must say, Ari amos ha'el nasuni lach b'matana. This money is hereby given to you as a gift, u'bilvad shulo yehei lebalech rushus behem, provided that your husband has no rights to it, el masha'at no ses v'no sedach b'fich, but that you take and place in your mouth the food purchased with it. The Gemara explains that this is Rabbi Meir's opinion that Yad Isha ki Yad Bala, the wife's hand is like her husband's hand, and everything she acquires becomes his possessions. Therefore, a condition that he should not acquire it would not prevent him from taking possession of it. Rather, he must additionally stipulate that it remains his until she places it in her mouth, at which point the husband cannot acquire it. Rav says that the entire formula is necessary because he passes like Rabbi Meir. Shmuel says that even saying, do what you want with the money, is sufficient because he passes like the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Meir. And point number three, Rabbi Zera asked from Mishnah about the law of Shutufei Mavos, in which people of multiple courtyards join together for common usage of the central Mabui, which is often accomplished by one party transferring ownership of a food item to all the residents of the Mabui. This transfer must be performed through someone that can acquire independently the owner. Yet the Mishnah, presumably authored by Rabbi Meir, teaches that one may transfer wine for Shitufei Mavos through his wife, indicating that one's wife is able to acquire property without the husband taking possession. Rava initially answers that when the husband gives property to his wife, such as the case of Shitufei Mavos, it leaves his domain completely. When this answer is challenged from a brisa, Ravashi answers instead that the Mishnah is discussing a case where she herself owns a courtyard independent of her husband. Since she must acquire a portion of the wine for the Shitufei Mavos for herself to be effective, she can also acquire it on behalf of the other residents. So once again, the three points are number one. The Mishnah had taught about one who knows he can revoke Nedarim, but did not know that he had rights to be made for a particular Neder. Rav Meir says he cannot be made for because the partial knowledge he had the day he heard the Neder is not sufficient for Hafara. Still, the partial knowledge does qualify as a day of hearing to prevent him from revoking thereafter. The Chachamim say he can revoke the first day and his partial knowledge is adequate. The Gemara poses a contradiction for the law of a blind person who kills inadvertently. Rav Yehuda, the assumed disputant in our Mishnah, says he does not go to Gaulis because the Pasuk says below Ra'os, without seeing, indicating that he normally can see, and a blind person's partial awareness is not tantamount to proper knowledge. Rav Meir says he goes to Gaulis and is included in without seeing because he considers his partial awareness sufficient. Now, this is the opposite of the positions in our Mishnah. Rabbi answers that each subject is darshan based on context. Rabbi Yehuda says that the pasuk stating "Vashir yavo es re'eu bayar," one who goes with his friend into the forest, would include a blind person, so the extra "without seeing" must be to exclude him. Rabbi Meir says that the phrase "bavli da'as," without awareness, would already exclude a blind person who lacks full awareness, so the additional exclusionary phrase of "below ra'os," without seeing, must be to include a blind person. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, one who prohibited benefit to his son-in-law and wishes to give money to his daughter must say, Ari amos ha'el nasuni lach b'matana. This money is hereby given to you as a gift, u'bilvad shulo yehei lebalech rushus behem, provided that your husband has no rights to it, el masha'at no ses v'no sedach b'fich, but that you take and place in your mouth the food purchased with it. The Gemara explains that this is Rabbi Meir's opinion that Yad Isha Ki Yad Bala, the wife's hand is like her husband's hand, and everything she acquires becomes his possessions. Therefore, a condition that he should not acquire it would not prevent him from taking possession of it. Rather, he must additionally stipulate that it remains his until she places it in her mouth, at which point the husband cannot acquire it. Rav says that the entire formula is necessary because he passes like Rabbi Meir. Shmuel says that even saying, do what you want with the money, is sufficient because he passes like the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Meir. And point number three, Rabbi Zera asked from a mission about the law of Shutufei Mavos, in which people of multiple courtyards join together for common usage of the central Mabui, which is often accomplished by one party transferring ownership of a food item to all the residents of the Mabui. This transfer must be performed through someone that can acquire independently the owner. Yet the Mishnah, presumably authored by Rabbi Meir, teaches that one may transfer wine for Shitufei Mavos through his wife, indicating that one's wife is able to acquire property without the husband taking possession. Rava initially answers that when the husband gives property to his wife, such as the case of Shitufei Mavos, it leaves his domain completely. When this answer is challenged from a Brisa, Ravashi answers instead that the Mishnah is discussing a case where she herself owns a courtyard independent of her husband. Since she must acquire a portion of the wine for the Shitufei Mavos for herself to be effective, she can also acquire it on behalf of the other residents. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Pei Ches, and her standard Siman is a garbage can, a pach, a garbage can or trash bin. So here goes. The terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane because he was being chased by his son-in-law, who was upset that he gave his daughter a gift on the condition their husband, who was usher to him, have no rights in it, ran to hide in his daughter's courtyard, which she owned independent of her husband, which required her to acquire a portion of the wine for Shitufei Mavos. Once again, in slow motion. The terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can, that must be more daf, peches, pach, garbage can, or trash bin. The terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane, which reminds us, the Gemara contrasts a machlokas about partial knowledge regarding hafara with a machlokas about a blind person's inadvertent killing when going into a forest. So, the terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane because he was being chased by his son-in-law, who was upset that he gave his daughter a gift on the condition that her husband, who was hasur to him, have no rights in it, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what a father must do in order to give property to his daughter such that her husband, who he was mutar hanaf from, will not acquire it. So, the terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane because he was being chased by his son-in-law, who was upset that he gave his daughter a gift on the condition that her husband, who was usher to him, have no rights in it, ran to hide in his daughter's courtyard, which she owned independent of her husband, which required her to acquire a portion of the wine for Shitufei Mavos, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses a case where a wife herself owns a courtyard independent of her husband. Since she must acquire a portion of the wine for the Shitufei Mavos for herself to be effective, she can also acquire it on behalf of the other residents. So once again, the terrified blind man who tripped over a garbage can in a forest and accidentally killed the garbage collector with his cane because he was being chased by his son-in-law, who was upset that he gave his daughter a gift on the condition that her husband, who was usher to him, have no rights in it, ran to hide in his daughter's courtyard, which she owned independent of her husband, which required her to acquire a portion of the wine for Shitufei Mavos. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf pei dalid. So the Zimmer daf pei dalid is a launch pad. So here goes. The woman who vowed, I am removed from all Jews, which included her husband, whom she put in a spaceship on a launch pad. That must be one daf pei dalid. The woman who vowed, I am removed from all Jews, which included her husband, whom she put in a spaceship on a launch pad, which reminds us, Rabbi challenged Rav Nach, who said that a husband is not included in a netter from people, from a Mishnah. A woman who vowed, Natula animi ne Yehudim, I am removed from Jews, the husband can revoke what pertains to him, and she may have relations with him, but she remains prohibited in relations to all the Jews, even after divorce. The Gemara answers that although the husband is generally not included in a netter from people, here he is included in the netter from relations, since we presume that she intends to prohibit someone who is permitted. So the woman who vowed, I'm removed from all Jews, which included her husband, whom she put in a spaceship on a launch pad, went off to collect some Maiser Aniba, the granary, which reminds us, our Mishnah allows one who is prohibited in benefits from all people to receive Lechut Shulchan Peah because they are ownerless. The Gemara notes, Velo Ketani Maiser Ani, that our Mishnah does not seem to allow her to receive Maiser Ani, and this contradicts a Brisa which allows it. Rabbi answers that our mission is discussing Maaser Ani, which is distributed in the house, which the Torah describes with Nesina, giving, indicating that the owner determines to whom he gives it, so therefore she may not receive such Maaser Ani. The Brisa is discussing Maaser Ani distributed at the granary, which the Torah says, V'hanachta b'sharecha, and you shall set it down within your cities, indicating that anyone may take it without the owner's consent, so she may receive it. So the woman who vowed, I'm removed from all Jews, which included her husband whom she put in a spaceship on a launch pad, went off to collect some Maaser Ani by the granary, where she saw one man designate Maaser Ani of the Mai, which reminds us, Rav Yosef presented a machlokes tanaim. Rav Yosef says, Ein adam sarech likro shem al Maaser Ani shel the Mai, that one does not need to designate Maaser Ani of the Mai, and the Chachamim say he must designate it. Daf Pehe, so the Simur Daf Pehe is a dentist because it relates to a mouth. So here goes. When the dentist, that must mean we're on Daf Pei Hei, mouth, dentist. When the dentist forbade benefit to all Kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he'd given up his Tobos Hana of his Truma, as it was rendered like dust, which reminds us. The mission says when one prohibits Kohanim or Levim, they may take his Truma and Maaser. This indicates that Tobos Hana in a moment, the benefit of pleasure is not in equity, meaning the fact that he can choose whom to give the Trumas and Maasers to and accept payment to do so, is not considered a monetary ownership of the Truma and Maaser. Therefore, the Kohanim and Levim are not receiving something of his. Rava says that our Mishnah holds that Tobos Hana is a monetary ownership, which explains a later case in the Mishnah. The reason for this case is that since Truma is only fit for Kohanim, then by attempting to prohibit it to all Kohanim, Shavya Afra Ba'alma, he has rendered it mere dust to himself. Since it's impossible for him to give it to any Kohen, he has forfeited those monetary rights and rendered it like Hefker. So, when the dentist forbade benefit to all Kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he had given up his Tobos Hanav, his Truma, as it was rendered like dust, his wife, who worked as his hygienist, got upset and declared, Konama will not work for your mouth. Which reminds us, if a wife says to her husband, She'eni osal picha, Konam then will not work for your mouth, the Tana Kama says, No hafar is necessary, because since she's obligated to work for him, the netter is ineffective. Rabbi Akiva says, Yafir shemet tadifulav yosimin aruilo. He should revoke it, for perhaps she'll produce more than is due, and the excess, which belongs to her, would become forbidden to him. The Tanakhama holds that even the excess belongs to him and remains permitted. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, Yafir shema yigarshenu tihi asur lav. He should revoke it, for perhaps he'll divorce her and then she'll become forbidden to him. So, when the dentist forbade benefit to all Kohanim, so they wouldn't become his patients, didn't realize he had given up his Tobos Hana of his Truma, as it was rendered like dust, his wife, who worked as his hygienist, got upset and declared, Konama will not work for your mouth, and my hand should be consecrated to their maker. Which reminds us, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua explained our mission as a case where a wife says, Yikachu Yadai Lo Oseh, and my hand should be consecrated to their maker, or in our case, Konam, the Yadaim Ha'isna Hu Ba'olam, because her hands exist in the world and are subject to Hekdesh. The Gemara clarifies that since her hands are obligated to her husband, she must have added, when I become divorced. Daf Pei Vav. So the Simur Daf Pei Vav is police. So here goes. The husband who watched the Nadarim police, that must be in Daf Pei Vav, police. The husband who watched the Nadarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish, his pledged field, and then redeemed it, which reminds us. The Gemara said that a woman can make a neder to forbid her hands to her husband for after her divorce. Her hands, although obligated to her husband, are in existence, and such a neder can be set to take effect in the future. The Gemara attempts to compare this case to a pledged field, where the lender may take its fruits, where the borrower declares it should be hekdesh, and then he redeems it, which is effective. This comparison is rejected because it's within the power of the borrower to redeem it, as opposed to the woman who cannot divorce herself. So the husband who watched the Nadarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish, his pledged field, and then redeemed it, got so confused when she broke out from the cuff, saying that a konim is like hekdesh and is mafkia the shibud, which reminds us. Rav Ashi finally answers that a konim is able to take effect on her hands even while they are obligated to her husband. Konim, which cannot become permitted through redemption, is similar to a hekdesh of kedushas haguf, physical sanctity, about which Rava taught, hekdesh chametz v'shichrur, mafkin midei shibud. Hekdesh chametz and freeing a slave release property from a lien. For example, if one designated his ox to be collected for a loan and subsequently declared it a carbon, the hekdesh removes the lien from the ox and the loan must be collected from elsewhere. So the husband who watched the Nadarim police put handcuffs on the hands of his wife, who forbid them to him after he was makdish his pledged field, and then redeemed it, got so confused when she broke out from the cuff, saying that a konim is like hekdesh and is mafkia the shibud, that he mixed up his wife's netter on grapes for his daughter's netter on figs, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Nadri Ishtva Savishin Nadri Bito, if his wife vowed, and he thought that his daughter vowed, or the reverse, or she vowed from figs, and he thought she vowed from grapes, or the reverse, Harzi Yaksur Yafir, his hafar is invalid, and he must revoke it again, since the hafar was made under incorrect information, either about who made the neder, or what the neder was about. Daf Pei Zayin, so the Zimmer Daf Pei Zayin is a golden pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden pez candy dispenser. Golden pez candy dispenser? That must be more in Daf Pei Zayin. Golden pez candy dispenser. The husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden pez candy dispenser, which reminds us, our Mishnah, which taught that hafar for the wrong person is invalid, holds that the pasuk using the term yani osa, he who shall restrain her, is meant specifically that he must know her identity. This seems to contradict a braisa which teaches that if one is told that his father died and he tore kriya, and then discovered that it was actually his son who died, the kriya is valid, despite there being similarly specific terms in the pasuk describing David's kriya over Shaul and Yonasan. The Gemara answers that the braisa of kriya should be interpreted that he was not told which of his relatives had died. He assumed it was his father, but wasn't certain. Such an unspecific kriya can be valid for the true deceased relative. Our Mishnah speaking where he was clearly told the wrong identity of the vower, and his hafar was made accordingly for the wrong person. So the husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden pez candy dispenser, but was informed, toch kedei dibur, that in fact it was his wife, which reminds the Gemara brings a ruling that all statements can be retracted within toch kedei dibur, with four exceptions. Blasphemy, idol worship, both of which incur the death penalty even if he immediately retracts his blasphemous or idolatrous declaration, and marriage and divorce, which are effective even if he retracts immediately after performing them. The Ran explains that the seriousness of these activities dictates that a person would not do them without a complete and unconditional intent. So the husband who did hafar for the wrong person mistakenly did kriya on the wrong person as well, using a golden pez candy dispenser, but was informed, toch kedei dibur, that in fact it was his wife, whose neder he tried to partially revoke, which prohibited her to both fig and grape pez candies. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a three-way machlokas whether a partial akama confirms the entire neder, and if a partial afara revokes the entire neder. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which step do you learn what a father must do in order to give property to his daughter, such that her husband, who the father was mudra not from, will not acquire it? That's on Daf Peches. Good. Number 2. Which step do you learn all statements can be retracted, toch kedei dibur, except in 4 instances? That's on Daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which step do we have machokas tanaim if maisa ani of demai requires verbal designation? That's on Daf Hey, Dalit. Good. Number 4. Which of the one hekdesh, chametz, and shichur are mafkia ashiba? That's on Daf Pei Vav. Good. Number 5. Which of the one the Gemara seeks to resolve the difference between the din when one does hafar for the wrong person or one does kriya on the wrong person? That's on Daf Pei Zayin. Good. Number 6. Which step do we compare a wife forbidding her hands to her husband to one who is makdish his pledged field and then redeemed it? That's on Daf Pei Vav. Good. Number 7. Which of the one a hafara made based on incorrect information is invalid? That's on Daf Pei Vav. Good. Number 8. Which of the one a woman who owns a courtyard independent of her husband must acquire a portion of the wine for Shetufi Mavos for herself and can also acquire it on behalf of the other residents? That's on Daf Pei Ches. Good. Number 9. Which Daf do we have a three-way machok is whether a partial comma confirms the entire neder, and if a partial hafara revokes the entire neder? That's on Daf Pei Zayin. Good. And number 10. Which Daf does a Gemara contrast machlokas about partial knowledge regarding hafara with a machlokas about a blind person's inadvertent killing when going into a forest? That's on Daf Pei Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.